For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Processing your stuff with rain. So Michael Singer says, things that happen to you that you're not comfortable with, and you suppress them, you shove them away, you resisted them, so you stored all this junk inside of you, and now it's very sensitive. We push things down under the line, making them unconscious, because we don't think we can deal with them. And when we push it down, it covers our inner goodness with all this junk. It's like a closet you throw things in that you don't want to deal with. And to get to the one thing you do want in there, you have to empty out the closet. So we want to get rid of all the junk that we've thrown on top of our inner goodness. And for me, that's what practice has really been about. Taking off mask after mask, getting rid of this brick and that brick. But we can't get rid of our stuff by just pushing it away. We can only get rid of it by dealing with it. Tara Brach says, the path to bringing love to our world begins with healing our inner divides. If we're willing and courageous enough to feel what's going on inside us, to really contact the feelings of personal deficiency, fear and vulnerability, and be intimate with them, that's what gives us the capacity to be intimate with others. When we bridge inner divides, we become aware of our basic goodness, the care in our hearts, our natural intelligence, creativity, and our longing to be awake. Life throws us a lot of curveballs. If we just sweep all those difficulties under the carpet, we've covered up our true self. It's covered with all the junk that we've thrown below the line, all the stuff we thought we couldn't deal with. And then, because we don't feel good, we try to manipulate the world around us. I've talked about my tendency to be a know-it-all and a do-it-all. I thought if I knew everything and did everything for others, I would feel like I was enough. However, there was always more I could know and more I could do, so it never made me feel better. My compulsive actions didn't fill up the hole I felt inside of me. External fixes like compulsive to fill up that hole inside of your heart doesn't necessarily work. Those difficult things are still going to be there under the line in your unconscious. You're carrying them around, and as long as they're in there, someone is going to press a button that triggers them. You can't keep yourself from getting triggered, but what you can do is deal with the difficulties so that they're not so sensitive to the trigger. Tara Brach says, when we go into fight, flight, freeze, our executive function shuts down. And there's no access to empathy, compassion, and connectedness. Think about it. When you're all uptight about something, you feel isolated, not connected. We're cut off from others and from our own heart and spirit. We're hijacked by the survival limbic brain, and the unprocessed fear gets expressed through hatred and contempt of others. You know, when someone triggers your button, just feel a little bit of contempt or hatred or anger at them. We create enemies, bad others, who are less than human, and we aggress against them. Think about that and what's going on in the U.S. today. And we can be the shining examples who don't do that. So how you handle difficulties can be on a continuum from being totally overwhelmed and doing all sorts of stuff to feeling totally helpless and doing nothing, freezing. Sometimes people become a recluse because it's all just too much. Some people prefer to ignore the facts And pretend like it's no big deal. How many times have you said it's no big deal when it was a big deal? I know for me, it's lots. One of those little no big deals is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Maybe it's something that would cause you irritation on a scale of 1 to 10. Is it 2 or 3 normally? But something's bothering you, and that 2 or 3 becomes a 7 or an 8. Not because of what happened, but because of what's going on inside of you. We still tell ourselves we're not going to deal with it, we're just going to let it go. But do we really let it go, or are we just stuffing it down? Covering up our inner goodness. Another way to deal with difficulties is to feel a little anxious, which might spur us to action. And so that's kind of in the middle. We feel a little anxious, but not totally overwhelmed, where we just react. And we move from one spot on the continuum to the other throughout the day. Many of us have a favorite spot that we spend most of our time on, but there's some flexibility there. So basically what we have is three choices. We can bury our head in the sand and pretend the difficulty doesn't exist. We can continue to be overwhelmed by the difficulty, in which case we're probably very defensive and may act unskillfully. Or we can acknowledge the difficulty, process it, and learn to deal with hard things. Michael Singer says, so you're using all this energy to hold it down. Now, because you're so uncomfortable, you're not feeling love, you're not feeling joy, you're not feeling inspiration in life, and you're feeling guilty, whatever the heck it is. And now you have to use energy to figure out what to do, not to have to deal with yourself. If I was super busy or involved in learning something new, I didn't have to deal with myself. It was just covering it up. When we push all that stuff down, we're covering up all our joy, all our love, all our inspiration for life, and we're feeling like crap. And then we have to figure out, what are we going to do to make ourselves feel better? And instead of reaching out and trying to find something external to make us feel better that really doesn't, like a drink or candy or doom scrolling or binge watching TV or any of the other things that we might do to make ourselves feel better, we can use the tool called RAIN to help us deal with these difficulties. And RAIN stands for Recognize, Admit, Investigate, and Nurture. And it works because you apply mindfulness and self-compassion to the hard things in your life. Each step of RAIN helps you build inner strength by deconditioning habitual habits that you resist difficult things. It doesn't matter whether you resist what is by lashing out in anger, by getting drunk, by getting immersed in obsessive thinking, or my go-to, busyness. You attempt to control the life within and around you, and that really cuts you off from your heart and from living in the present moment. We see the hurtful words of a friend, but we don't see how that friend is suffering. We think she's a terrible person, when in reality, she's really just hurting. Saw a meme on Facebook that said, don't give someone a lecture when they need a hug. We end up giving ourselves lectures when we really need a hug. Think about that. How many times do you give yourself a lecture when you really need a hug? When you bring RAIN directly to the experience of any difficulty, you'll discover the vulnerability that drives it. You don't think you're strong enough to deal with that vulnerability, but when you see it, you'll awaken your capacity for self-compassion. Last week at prison, I talked about RAIN, and one of the guys said, oh, if I do this, I might be able to do those kindness exercises you taught us last week. You'll naturally lose the grip of selfishness and any other ego coverings that limit who you are. You're loosening the grip of all the stuff you've thrown on top of your true self. So our negative self-beliefs, even when deeply painful, they give us a sense of certainty and control. We don't like uncertainty, so we don't change. We think, I don't know if meditation's really going to help, so I'm not going to bother. We can easily stay entranced for years and decades, perpetuating our sense of unworthiness with a habitual narrative of self-judgment and fear-based thinking. I did that for 40 plus years, thinking, don't let anyone get too close to you because then they'll reject you. And that was my belief. And until I really looked at it and saw it really wasn't true. It was fear-based thinking that someone might reject you and you won't be able to handle it. Well, guess what? I can handle it. So that cut me off from my heart and my spirit, and it cut me off from other people. When we feel like we're flawed, we can't do anything about it. But once we take a look at it, we begin to see the freedom that's possible in shedding that old skin. We can let go of it. So I talked about how my best friend dropped me in seventh grade and I pushed it below the line, and that cut me off from my heart and other people. And everything below the line are thoughts that are included in the 2,000 to 3,000 thoughts we have each hour. 90% of those are repeats. So guess how many times I told myself, people aren't going to like you. People aren't going to want to be your friend. These thoughts were playing over and over. And I didn't know it. And those thoughts were jerking me around for years until I finally stopped and looked at it and let those thoughts come up above the line. So when we meditate, some old stuff does come up. It's the stuff we need to deal with. And it wasn't so scary for me when I looked at it that she didn't want to be my friend. And looking back, I found another group of friends who I did keep at arm's distance, but they were much better friends to me. So when you scan your uncomfortable feelings, chances are you'll notice that you've ignored a hard thing or turned on yourself when you experience difficult times. Could be an experience from your childhood. Maybe it's a relationship you didn't take care of in a skillful way. It may be that you lashed out in anger, or maybe you have a habit of lashing out in anger. Maybe you weren't careful, or you made a mistake. Or maybe you're just at war with yourself for not being the person you really want to be. You're at war because you're not sitting in meditation as long as you think you should, or you're not communicating as skillfully as you should be, or you're not as patient as you should be. All of these things, we turn on ourselves. So think about that as we look at the four steps of RAIN. And the components of RAIN are recognize what's happening inside me and outside of me. And I call the A both admit and allow. Some people call it accept, but that has the wrong connotation. So admit reality is reality. Can you admit that reality is reality, even if it sucks? And then allow yourself to be with what's ever happening. And then investigate what's happening inside myself. What stories am I telling? What feelings am I having? What sensations am I feeling? What beliefs do I have? And finally, nurture. What does the hurting, frightened, wounded place inside of me need? So to go through these steps, I'm just going to use the example of lashing out at someone we care for, because I think everyone has lashed out at someone they care for. And recognize is simply to become aware of what's happening right now without rose-colored glasses or without dark glasses. It's shining the light of awareness on your inner life, your thoughts, your feelings, your behaviors. When you lash out at a loved one, your inner critic probably starts telling you how awful you are. No wonder no one can love you. There's your belief, no one can love you. We often try and ignore it and just brush the whole experience under the carpet. Oh, it'll be fine the next time we're together. But it isn't. We lash out at each other again. And when we ignore it, it keeps poking at us unconsciously, putting us in a bad mood for the rest of the day or maybe even the rest of the week. We feel an uncomfortable sensation in our body, which we also ignore. But that uncomfortable sensation could be our Bella mindfulness. They're trying to communicate to us, telling us to become aware of your thoughts, your beliefs, and your feelings instead of sweeping them under the rug. So we begin recognizing by focusing our attention on whatever thoughts, feelings, emotions, or sensations are arising right here and now. And some parts of your experience are a lot easier to connect with than others. You know what? If your chest tightens, you might not recognize this physical response is being triggered by your belief you're about to be rejected or criticized or made fun of. And if you feel the sensations of hollowness or shakiness, maybe that's telling you that there's a sense of unworthiness or shame in there that this person is triggering. And that's why you're lashing out. So you awaken recognition by simply asking yourselves, what's happening inside of me right now? And calling on your natural curiosity as you focus inward. Try to let go of the preconceived ideas of what you should be thinking or feeling, and instead listen in a kind way to your body and your heart. And once you've recognized it, you have to admit that reality is reality. Donna Zajonic says, denying or rejecting appropriate emotions in response to difficult situations can diminish your resilience and your capacity to work with life's challenges. So we've been pushing all this stuff under the carpet, thinking it's making life easier. But when we deny or reject the appropriate emotion, it diminishes our resilience and our capacity to work with life's challenges. Isn't that interesting? Kind of backfires on us. The more you practice staying with your emotions rather than forcing positive thinking, the more you'll trust your ability to fully inhabit all your emotions. When they're not so scary, you don't have to tense up. And when you don't tense up, you've got a bigger view. When you fight against reality, you always lose. We need to see clearly the external world is not meeting our wishes and accept that we can't change it. I've been thinking a lot about the serenity prayer. Give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We can concede that we can't change our loved one who we're going to lash out at, but we can control our reaction to their criticisms, their mocking, their whatever it is that's causing us to lash out. So instead of lashing out, we can learn from it and choose how to respond. We admit reality's not what we want, and we allow the thoughts, emotions, feelings that we feel to be there. Even if the person we're lashing out at is saying, oh, well, you're too sensitive. They're trying to discount our emotions. But we can be sensitive. If that's what we feel, that's what we feel. We might have a natural sense of aversion trying to push away those uncomfortable feelings. But the more we're willing to be present with what is, a different kind of quality of attention emerges. Admitting and allowing is intrinsic to healing, and recognizing this can give rise to an intention to just let it be. Michael Singer says, so first own it. Don't blame it on anybody. When you lash out at someone, you blame it on them. But you gotta own it. You own you weren't able to deal with things well enough. Because if you could deal with them well enough, you wouldn't have lashed out. That's a reaction, not a response. It's really hard to just let the unpleasant sensations or thoughts from the unskillful comments of a loved one just be. So you might want to whisper some kind of encouraging phrase like, yes, this is happening, or I can be with this. When I went through teacher training, one of my friends said, can you just be with it for one breath? And maybe then two breaths. And that's all you have to start. And so after you've admitted reality isn't what you want and you've allowed the feelings, the next step is to investigate. Now, if it's really a little something, sometimes you don't even need to get to investigate. Just recognizing, admitting, and allowing will dissipate that uncomfortable feeling. But in most cases, you're going to have to do a little bit more work. So if the unskillful comment is a trigger to unprocessed difficult experiences, you're very likely to be overwhelmed by intense feelings. And these feelings have probably been triggered repeatedly over and over the years, many years maybe. And so your reactions become very entrenched. They become very solid habits. So to investigate, you call on your natural curiosity to see what's really going on. This isn't an intellectual analysis because that would leave you feeling drained. So if you're feeling drained, you're too much in your head. Investigating is letting your mind rest so it's not so cloudy. Letting your minds rest. What clouds our mind? There's pettiness, jealousy, entitlement, anger, envy, all sorts of things, needing to be one up. And we need to just let our minds rest. Rick Hansen says, open to a wider, more impersonal, big picture view of the situation. So it's less about you and more about lots of swirling causes coming together in unfortunate ways. See if any kind of deeper insight about the other person, yourself, or the situation altogether comes to you. So when someone says something to you and it triggers you, it's not just what they said then. It's the lots of swirling causes coming together. All the different things they've said to you over the years and maybe experiences that had nothing to do with them, but that you've stuffed down into yourself. And so we don't want to analyze the who said what and why, because that only strengthens our neural pathway of being a victim. And that's not what investigation is all about. That's rumination. And we'll talk about rumination next time we meet. So instead, we want to notice what's underneath the feelings. We all have a natural resistance to feeling uncomfortable and unsafe. So we busy ourselves with our thinking mind and we leave our body. And instead of accepting what is and figuring out what we need, we simply judge what's happening. And I don't know about you, but I sure don't need to strengthen my judging neural pathways anymore. So we begin by investigating ourselves so we can let the mud settle and see more clearly. We're just directing a more focused attention to the present experience. So when someone says something that causes us to lash out, we think, what stories am I telling myself about what this person said? And what stories have I added on to whatever they said? So they say, oh, you're so stupid. And then we add on the story of, yeah, I'll never be any good. I'll always be, you know, I can never learn, I can never do things right. We start adding on and on, whatever it is. And then what feelings and sensations are strong? What are the feelings in your body? Because that's going to help you recognize that difficulty coming up before you get on the hamster wheel and react in the future. That's your bell of mindfulness saying pause, stop, see what's really going on. And look at what's happening in your mind. Are you running revenge scenarios? Are you replaying the argument? Are you trying to think of, well, I could have said this and one-upped them? Is your intention to tear them down and be one-up? Or is your intention to improve your relationship with them? Is your intention to defend yourself? Or is your intention to support this relationship? And then, what are the honest feelings in your heart? You might say anger, but what about the fear, the shame, the helplessness, the hurt, the sadness that's underneath that anger? That's what's causing you to lash out. It's not that you're an angry person. It's that there's uncomfortable feelings underneath that you're not recognizing. And the only way that you've been able to survive those uncomfortable feelings in the past is to lash out. And while it works for a second, it doesn't work in the long run. That's your go-to sense of survival. And then you kind of widen the investigation by saying, okay, based on all this, what am I believing? Am I believing I'm unlovable? Am I believing I'm a failure? Am I believing I'm a jerk? Am I believing I'm inherently flawed? And think about how this belief maybe impacts your relationship with that person and impacts your whole life. And then you've got a sense, what does the most vulnerable part of you need, where you feel the worst, the part that feels not okay, what does it need? And that brings us to the fourth step, which is nurture, providing self-compassion to ourselves. We can train ourselves to allow self-compassion to arrive naturally when we recognize we're suffering. So we have to do that first step of RAIN first. We have to recognize that we're suffering. But many of us don't recognize we're suffering. We just jump to fixing the problem. And we want to nurture ourselves because it gives us the strength to face those uncomfortable emotions and helps us realize we're not alone. To nurture ourselves, I think the most important thing is that we have to let go of the belief that we do not deserve to be nurtured. It took me a long time to be able to do self-compassion for myself, because for a long time, I didn't believe I deserved to be nurtured, to be taken care of. And nurturing is just sensing what that wounded, frightened, hurting place inside you needs most, and offering some gesture or care that might address this need. So if a loved one or a friend came to you and said, oh, my sister or my cousin or my friend said this to me and it was so upsetting, what would you say to them? What kind words would you have for them? And it might be that you need some reassurance. You need some forgiveness. Maybe you need some companionship, some understanding, or some love. And we can't rely on other people to give that to us when we need it. So we may have to learn how to give it to ourselves. So you might choose to mentally whisper to yourself one of the following phrases. They're letting their suffering spill out on me. Instead of getting angry, and I can't believe you said that to me, you're so mean. How does it feel when you say that versus when you say, they're letting their suffering spill out on me? It's their hurt talking. I don't need to defend or prove I'm right. This relationship is more important to me than being right. I've got my own back. I don't need to rely on them to give me what I need. Sometimes we're angry and we lash out because we're wanting them to give us what we need. And they can't read our minds, or maybe they can't give it to us. And so we have to say, you know what? I got my own back. I don't need to rely on them to give me what I need. I'm going to give it to myself. So basically with nurture, you're answering the question, what does the hurting, frightened, wounded place inside of me need right now? And Tara Brach, in a talk, gave an answer one of her clients gave, which I thought was helpful to understand it. It needs me to accept not knowing and to hold this grief with kindness. And she put her hand on her heart and just held what was in her heart. Embedded in the grieving was love, and she said softly, "I love life. I want to protect life." Her heart was open and tender with all-inclusive caring. So that's the kind of thing that we want to be able to learn to say to ourselves. But from my experience, it takes a heck of a lot of practice, a lot of work, to be able to get there. We've discussed rain in a specific order, but you don't always take the steps in that order. If you're dealing with small irritations and mildly unpleasant emotions, you probably do take the steps in order. Sometimes you only need to recognize and then admit and allow, and you've processed that difficult feeling. However, when you're dealing with something overwhelming, you may need to bounce from one to the other. For example, if you're feeling overwhelmed, you may not have the ability to recognize all you're feeling. You may need to start with nurture. And if you can't move from recognize to admit and allow, letting those feelings be, you may need to do some investigation before you can allow them to be. Whatever it is, if you want to handle your difficulties rather than stuff them below the line and carry them around for the rest of your life, you need to recognize what you're feeling, admit reality, allow your feelings to be what they are, investigate what most needs attention, and nurture yourself with self-care. Thank you.